Amen. Second Chronicles. Let me go straight into the word. Second Chronicles chapter 14. The Bible states that then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Verse 17. "You will not need to fight in this battle." I said, you will not need to fight in this battle. "Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." The Lord is with you in the name of Jesus. I declare over your life that you will see the salvation of the Lord in the name of Jesus. You will not need to fight the battles that is facing you, because the Lord himself will stand up and fight on your behalf in the name of Jesus. This morning, I just want to talk to you about something I've titled, Winning the Battles of Life. Winning the Battles of Life. You know, we've been talking about divine positioning over the last couple of weeks. Last week, I spoke about finding the place. If you were not here, I would like to encourage you to get the message. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about occupy your position. You'd like to get that as well. And what you find is that this month is quite key, because we've been talking about being rightly positioned from various angles. So 2 weeks ago, I spoke about being rightly positioned in the body of Christ, your role in the body of Christ. Last week, I spoke about finding the place. So there's a place God has reserved for you, not just in the kingdom, but in every sphere of your life. And it's very important for you to discover, to find that place, because it is in the place that you find fulfillment, you find joy. It is in that place that you find peace. It is in that place that you find your purpose. And I explained that you find provision, your prophet, and a couple of other things in the place. However, this morning I'm going to take it from another angle. And I want to take it from the angle of being spiritually positioned. Because you need to understand that spiritual positioning is very key to victory in life. For you to be victorious in life, you need to be well positioned spiritually. You may not be aware of this, but I would hope that you are aware. One of the certainties, and I use the word certainties, because it's not a probability, it's not a maybe, it is a certainty. One of the certainties of life is that we are all going to face battles during our sojourn on earth. One battle or the other, you can be certain. You don't have to pray for it. You don't have to ask for it. It just comes. There are some battles that you think, why me? There are some battles that you are going on your own and they just stumble on in your path. But you find out that at different times in our life, we'll face certain battles. And the truth of the matter is that everyone faces battles. The intensity of each person's battle will be different, but you can be certain that they will come at different times. And what you need to understand is that there are different battles, there are different types of battles that you will encounter in life. And a lot of people don't have the understanding that when a battle comes, you need to be prepared, or you need to understand what you need to do. Like I said, there are different types of battles. So sometimes you will face emotional battles whereby we are battling with our emotions in different areas. You know, up today, down tomorrow. Sometimes some people face spiritual battles. So that spiritually, they are facing some certain things. Sometimes it's spiritual from their generations. And the Bible talks about it in the book of Zechariah. It talks about the four horns. It says there are four horns that every time they try to raise their head, the horns come and try to suppress them. Some people face such battles in their life, in their family, whereby at every point in time, whenever they're about to get a breakthrough in life, something happens that closes the door. I don't know if anybody understands. For some people, they face certain kinds of battles that in the middle of the night, they are oppressed and suppressed in their sleep. Those are spiritual battles. And you need to understand that those battles, they come to challenge us. They come to distract us. They come to stop us from entering into the calling of God for our life. They come in order that we may not be positioned the way God wants us to be positioned. Is somebody listening to me this morning? In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul said something. He said that he tried to come to them, to the people of Thessalonians, but Satan hindered him. That is a spiritual battle. Anytime you have been hindered from getting into a certain position or a certain calling of God for your life, which you know you are meant to be into, you can be certain that those are the wiles and devices of the enemy trying to stop you from entering into God, what God has called you to. Amen? And this kind of battles happen to everyone. For everybody that is going in the direction of God for your life, you can be certain that you face opposition. Amen. And sometimes we face financial battles whereby, you know, the finances, we are struggling against the finances. And then, you know, there are intellectual battles. Intellectual battles in the sense that you are where you are right now is not where you ought to be. You are more intelligent for your position. Does that make sense? Some people, they do certain exams and they don't pass it. But they know the answer, but they don't pass it. Intellectual battles. Is somebody listening to me this morning? And then there are times that we face marital battles. You know, whereby in the marriage, in the home, you are married in the home. But the home seems like a battleground most of the time. And the last mistake a lot of people make is that they start fighting their spouses. But they don't understand that there are some unseen forces that are battling against them. That is trying to ensure that the home is broken. Because for every broken home, the enemy has the children. Or tries to have the children. Let me put it that way. Is somebody listening to me this morning? So we need to understand that there are different battles that we face in life. And many people don't have an understanding of this. The Apostle Paul, he understood the fact that life itself is a battle. So in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, from verse 10, he said something. He said, finally, my brethren, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Against the devices of the enemy. Against the trickery of the enemy. He said, be strong in the Lord. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 to 4, he tried to warn us. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, he said what? We do not war in the flesh or according to the flesh. He said something. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are what? They are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That is trying to make us understand that, look, there are certain battles, there are certain wars. It's amazing that he used the word war. Ephesians 6, he said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So he was saying that there are some things that we are wrestling against that you cannot see. But a lot of us, when we face challenges, when we face battles of life, what do? We go in the flesh and we start doing things in the flesh. Whereas he was saying that for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. So it means that they are spiritual, not carnal. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And what you need to understand is that as we face the different battles in life, our strategy, our positioning will determine the outcome. Many people face battles, but they are not aware of the importance of the strategy and the positioning they take in order for them to be victorious. Let me explain. In the physical, you will never find an army, well, maybe apart from certain African armies. I'm an African, so I can yap us. Yeah, but in the physical, Any army that goes into battle without a strategy and a clear indication of their positioning is doomed to lose that battle. Any army that goes without a strategy and then a clear indication of where they are going to be positioned, how they are going to be positioned, you can be certain that they are doomed to lose that battle. So, for example, the U.S. Army, when they were going into Iraq some years ago, they had a strategy. Before they went in, they gathered intelligence. When they were going in, they positioned their troops at different strategic places. Each soldier knew the position that they needed to be in. You would not find a soldier straying and just going and saying, I'm going to battle and walking around anywhere without understanding the position they needed to take. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And the same way as Christians, we need to be clear about our positioning, especially when we're facing battles of life. Our positioning is key. It's significant to the outcome of the battles we face in life. And the interesting thing is that when you think of the physical, there is no soldier that would just go into battle without taking instructions from the commander-in-chief. But a lot of Christians, they go into battle without taking instructions and they expect to win. They go into battle without understanding their positioning and they expect to win that battle. Things that will not work in the physical, they expect that in the spiritual, when they're facing such things, that it will just happen. The Bible states in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Are you with me this morning? 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1. The Bible states that it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, notice that, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and then it says, and others with them. So at least three nations, at least. We don't know how many are the others. The others could be one, two, three, or more. But at least three nations, and it says that, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Three nations at least came to fight Jehoshaphat and the Israelites. Now, what you find there is that Jehoshaphat faced an uphill battle. He had at least three nations coming against the army that he was commanding. This was a case of three against one. So, in reality, you would not have given him any chance of winning that battle. You wouldn't have given him any chance, any probability at all. I mean, if I were to look at it, I'd say that definitely that battle is lost. Amen? In fact, if you look at verse 2 of that chapter, the Bible states that then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi. So basically, the nations coming against him, they were described as a great, not just a multitude, a great multitude. Now, when you think of it, logically, Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel, they were dead. If you think of it. So they were facing a battle that they could not win on their own. It was an uneven fight. It's almost like saying that my 16-year-old son should go and fight David Hay. Once again, just forget it. Are you with me? It was an uneven fight, uneven battle. And he himself realized that he had no chance without the help of God. But you know, the Bible states in the book of Psalm 46, verse 1, it states that God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. And he had an understanding of that, that he is my refuge, he is my strength. And in every trouble that I face, my goodness, it says that he is our present help in time of trouble. I want you to understand something this morning. I want you to understand that no matter how impossible, no matter how uphill, no matter how seemingly insurmountable the battle you're facing today, no matter what it seems like the battle you've been facing, with God, it is surmountable. Whatever battle that you've been, whether it has been in your generation for years, whether it has been something that you've been dealing with for years, with God, if you can understand positioning, then you can win the battle. Amen? And that's what Jehoshaphat, because he understood that this battle is not one I can fight on my own. So the first thing he did in verse 3, the Bible says that, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself, notice that he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. What did he do? He made a decision that this is something I cannot do. I cannot win it on my own. So what did he do? He decided that, look, in order to win this battle, I've got to position myself in God's presence. He took up a position in God's presence. He divinely positioned himself to hear what God had to say. And you see, you need to understand this, because a lot of us do every other thing and leave the positioning to the last thing. In fact, that is even if we position ourselves. He positioned himself in such a way that, Lord, this is your battle, not mine. What are you saying? Now, most people, when they face challenges, and let's be real with ourselves. A lot of us, when we face challenges, we do many things. We speak to our friends. We ask our friends what to do. We decide what to do. We work it out by our own understanding. But very few people actually position themselves like Jehoshaphat did. And you'll find out that that is very important, because with that, he was getting into a key position and setting himself for victory. Amen? You see, every time you face a battle, one of the things about God is you cannot tell how he's going to give you the breakthrough. Let me repeat that. The fact that you did something yesterday and it got you a breakthrough does not mean that you, if you repeat that same thing today, you'll get the same results. In the book of Joshua, the way they won the battle of Jericho is different from how they won the battle of Ai. At every stage of the way, they had to ask God. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? And you see, there are certain battles that we are not even meant to fight ourselves. But we go out fighting. There are certain battles that God himself is meant to fight for us. And others that he will want us to fight. But do you know what? It's only by being spiritually positioned that we will know what to do. You know, some years ago, my pastor told me about the story of a certain gentleman when he was pastoring way back in Nigeria. He was pastoring the church, and you know, the chap was a worker in their church. I don't remember what he said happened anyway. I don't remember the whole story. But what I do remember is that the gentleman was very rude to him. Very rude, and almost beat him up in church. You know? But he just stayed cool. He didn't do anything. He just just left him to God. Said some years later, after the guy, his life was wrecked and things, he was looking for him all over the place. Looking for him all over the place to beg. He didn't do anything. He just left him to God. Such a battle, he didn't fight himself. And you need to understand, because sometimes if he had raised up his voice or said or tried to protect himself, do you know one thing? I always say this. One of the things that I've learned from the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, I've never heard him once, whereby he's been attacked, respond. Many people have attacked him in the papers. They've said so many things, various things. Not once have I heard him reply. But do you know what? Continuously, he's winning the battles. The same people usually come back to beg him. Is somebody listening to me? And that's God fighting his battles. Amen. You know, the Bible states in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 14. It states that then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattiah, and so on and so forth. Verse 15. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. I have come to declare to you this morning that don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The battle you are facing is not yours, but the Lord's. And you will see victory in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you are spiritually positioned, God will fight your battles for you. Further down, he then went on to say by the Spirit of the Lord, in verse 17, he said, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. There's a kind of positioning that you get into, and then you are just everything around you. There's a raging storm, but you are not sweating. There's a kind of positioning that you get into, and everything seems to be closing around you, but you are just there and you have peace. And sometimes it's not that you have the answer, you don't have the answer, but you know that you have the answer in God. You are not sweating because you have God on your side. Hey! You know, like they say, there's a saying I've heard in the past, that it's not the size of the dog that matters, but it's the size of the fight in the dog. You see, it's not your size, but it's the size of the person behind you. Oh my goodness. I remember there was a time, you know, growing up, I wasn't much of a fighter. For me, when there's a fight, I run. He that runs lives to fight again or run again. I was gentle. I was cool. But I had a brother. My goodness, my brother. When you see him, you'll be scared. Even before he says anything. I'm serious. You think I'm joking? Oh, you know, of course, you know him. Now, just his look alone. And I remember, this was even in university. I was in university and I don't fight. But there was one rugged chap that day. And one silly little thing, he wanted to fight me and things. And I used style to just move. You know, there are some ways that you move and you don't disgrace yourself. Of course, I then got to, I then saw my brother on the way out and said, I was really upset. So I said, what happened? So I told him what happened. But he said, yeah, let's go. As he went, I was behind him.
I made sure I went in front. And then, when we got to the place, he said, oh yeah, you wanted to. Oh yeah, let me see you do it. Let me see. I the guy was shaking. I was like, hmm. You know, when you have God on your side, hey, you know that you have somebody that goes before you, and you can just step behind him. As he goes forward, you are like, yes, yes, yes. They think you are the one that has the power, the strength, but they don't know it is God. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I hope somebody is getting this. I've come to tell you this morning. I've come to tell someone here this morning that don't be afraid of the raging battle. Don't be afraid of the great multitude. Let's look closely at this word in verse 17, and then I'll be done. The Bible says that, it said, position yourselves. What does it mean to position yourself? To position yourself means to be spiritually sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It means to get into the place of prayer and seek God's face. You know, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 41, from verses 41 to 46, the book of 1 Kings. Did I say chapter 41? Chapter 18, I beg your pardon. 1 Kings chapter 18. Are you with me this morning? You know, the Bible states from verse 41, it states that, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of the camel. Notice that. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Listen to me. Elijah, there was a drought in Israel. And Elijah made a declaration. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear something coming. I perceive that something is coming this way. But do you know what? The Bible says that Ahab went to eat. He went in the canal, in the flesh. But what did Elijah do? Elijah positioned himself. He positioned himself in the presence of God. He positioned himself. The Bible says that he went where? To the top of Carmel. He bowed down on the ground and put his face between the knees. What was he doing? He was putting himself in a position to hear God. And you see, anytime you face a battle and you take up a position like Elijah did, and stay there, you can be certain that when God speaks, you have won. He did not just go running off. He did not just declare that, oh, I made make a decree. And get this. You know that Jesus, in Matthew 26, let's look at it. Matthew 26, a similar thing happened there. Matthew 26, verse 36. I'm talking about positioning yourselves spiritually. Matthew 26, 36. Are we there? The Bible states there. Watch this. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. What was he doing? He was getting into a position. He was positioned. You see, he was going to face a battle. A battle was about to happen whereby he would be crucified. Now, that was part of his own battle. And just like everybody has a battle, your battle is different from Jesus. You will not be crucified, but there's another form of crucifixion that will come because you are a Christian. And what did he do? The Bible says that he said, oh, wait over there. I am going to pray. Oh, he was going into a place of positioning. And you see from there that when he got into the Garden of Gethsemane, he was putting himself in a position to hear God. For every battle that you face in life, you need to get into position. You need to position yourself. Your spiritual positioning will determine your physical victory. Are you with me? Turn to your neighbor, say, position yourself. The second thing that God spoke in the book of 2 Chronicles 20:17, said, position yourselves, stand still. Stand still. Now, it is not enough to position yourself. You need to stand still. What does it mean to stand still? We must learn to be still in God's presence. You know, do you know that to be still takes discipline and practice? Have you ever tried to sit still for 20 minutes? You should try one day. You know, just sit still in one position. Don't fidget, don't do anything, and just try to focus on God. Try to do it one day. Stillness takes discipline, but it's not just physical stillness. It's being still in your spirit. It is in the place of stillness that you hear. A lot of people, sometimes we get into the right position. So we are praying, we are fasting, but we are not still. And until you are still, because if you are not still, there are other things that are crowding the voice of God in your life. And what you find is in today's environment, many people find it difficult. There are so many demands on our time. There are so many things we need to do. So many projects, so many goals, so many strategies, objectives that we want to meet. So many things, the children demanding our time, our wife demanding our time, our boyfriend, our girlfriend. So many things. You know, I used to, there was a time that when I want to pray and things like that, and I'll have my phone beside me, and it'll be on, and I'll be thinking, oh, just in case somebody comes. And I want to come. If I'm meeting with God, who's more important than? I don't know if you understand what I mean. And then there was a time, you know, sometimes, you know, all these smartphones, they are a trick of the enemy. While I'm praying, I'll be checking my email, just in case. Maybe something important. Does that happen to anybody? Say the truth and let the devil be ashamed. Okay. But what those things do is they take the stillness away. Even though we are positioned in his presence, we are not still to hear him. And what many people do, you find out that your mind is drifting. Drifting as you are praying. You know, it's interesting because these days, you know, when you pray in tongues, it's very easy to be praying in tongues and doing other things. You are in the kitchen. Sit down. Look, behave yourself. When are we going for that movie? And are you with me? Does that happen to anyone? But you know, when you are doing all that, so you are trying to position yourself, but you are not still. Your spirit is not still. So it's difficult to receive. So sometimes we say, oh, I've been praying and fasting, Pastor. Lord, I've prayed about this. I've been waiting on God about this, but I haven't heard anything. The reason is you are not still. You are not still. Your spirit is not still. You know, Psalm 46 verse 10 states that, be still and know that I am God. Be still. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 19, you know, there was an incident with Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll close with this. 1 Kings 19. Are you there? From verse 11. I just want to read it so that we can. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. The Bible states that then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Are you with me? Are you there? Can I have you up on the screen, please? Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. So it was like, this spectacular day. But God was not there. He says that, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what? A still small voice. All the noise, the earthquake, the wind, the fire. But look at how the voice of God came. Do you know that if Elijah had not been still, he could have missed that voice? Because it says, a still small voice. I tried to imagine what the voice might have been. It could have just been like a whisper. It could just have been like a whisper. And a lot of times, we are expecting a thunderous voice from God. Well, God, he does it in different ways. But if you are still, you will not miss the whisper. You know, there have been times that in the presence of God, I'm in the presence of God, and the Lord, just a little word, very easy to miss. A still small voice. But what would allow you to hear that still small voice? When you are still in your spirit yourself. And those are some of the strategies that we need in order to win the battles of life. Because listen to me, it is not based on what our parents did. It is not based on what your friends did. It is based for each new battle, each battle you are facing, God's strategy might be different for you. I'll end with this. You know, recently, someone was sharing with us, we were at a pastor's meeting, and someone was sharing that they were invited to a prayer meeting at the House of Parliament. You know, and when they got there, all the other people were Caucasians, and himself and the person he went with were the only sort of black people there. Now, they were sort of Caucasians from sort of old school, if you understand what I mean, you know, Christians that. And, you know, when they got there, they told them to sit down in a room. And they thought, okay, we've come for a prayer meeting. You know the way we hold prayer meetings. You know the way we hold prayer meetings. So they thought, somebody will share a scripture, you pray. Anyway, bottom line, they said that, okay, they just shared one scripture and said, we are going to sit in God's presence for 1 hour and just listen to God. I just listen to God, hear what God has to say. Like, let everybody be still. The pastor said, after 5 minutes, he was like, he looked at me, he was fidgeting. You know the way we pray now. We don't pray like that. We charismatics and black men, or black people. We don't. Sorry, is there any? I shouldn't be saying black people. We are a multicultural church. In faith, multinational. But, You know, he said that he was feeling uncomfortable. 15 minutes, he looked at the time. Ah, it's just 15 minutes. It seemed like an eternity had passed. But it's amazing. They just sat still, quiet. Do you know the amazing thing? I mean, of course, he said that for him, it was uncomfortable. He just had to sit down because everybody else thinks. Now, he said after an hour, they then said that, okay, what did the Lord say? He said he was amazed. They were just giving prophetic words. What they were talking about, I mean, what they were trying to listen to is what is God saying about the nation. That they were bringing prophetic words. He said himself and his friend, they just kept quiet. Because they did not want to disgrace. They didn't hear anything, of course. So they probably were battling with, how am I going to stop myself moving? I don't know if you understand what I mean. But do you know that a lot of us, we are like that. In fact, a lot of us, after we've done the Shakanderebo Sondo, we don't wait for 5 minutes in God's presence. So we finish praying in tongues, immediately we get up. How do we want to receive? Because all we've done is we've told God, but we have not allowed him to tell us. We need to learn to be still in his presence. Let's rise up. This morning I've shared about winning the battles of life. And I've just shared two strategies, two key things about positioning yourself and standing still in his presence. We're going to pray for a few minutes. Because I know it's not by chance that God